My dear parishioners, how fortuitous it is that the Feast of St. Luke falls on Mission Sunday, because that was the whole life of St. Luke, to go and teach the gospel, to bring it to others. He was not one of the 12 apostles, but he's very highly regarded. He's considered a martyr. And his feast is celebrated as though it was that of an apostle. So we see today that instead of the Mass for the 21st Sunday of Pentecost, which is only commemorated, it is the Mass and the office of the liturgy of St. Luke the Evangelist. He is one of the four gospel writers, one of the four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he was an eyewitness as a disciple to things that Jesus said and did. And he also learned from St. Paul, the apostle. He also learned from Our Lady. And I'll tell you about that in a little bit. As we reflect upon the meaning of Mission Sunday, we must remember that we need the gospel to be saved. That is the good news. That's what the word gospel means, the good news that we bring far and wide to everyone. And why is this so important? It makes the difference between an eternity of reward or an eternity of punishment. It's that important. This is the gospel that Christ came to bring us salvation as long as we cooperate with his grace. Isn't that wonderful news? We can't appreciate enough what the gospel really means. It means not just trying to be happy in this life and accumulating things, all of which we will have to leave behind, but Christ came to tell us that he redeemed us, he died for our sins, he gave us a church to belong to, and he gave us a plan to follow so that we could have eternal riches, so that we could be with God forever in heaven. So we are reminded today of the necessity of the church. Those who, through their own fault, reject it, lose the chance they have of saving their souls because Christ made it a condition for salvation, to be part of his church. And those that persevere, those that are of goodwill, those that keep praying, they will enter the church. They will get that all-important membership in the church so that they can save their souls. Peace to men of goodwill is what the angels sang at the birth of the Savior. Peace to men of goodwill, those that are open and listening to God's will, to God's grace, they will be saved. So never forget that. You see the respect that we show for the gospel during the Mass. We stand for it. We don't stand for the epistle, even though that is the revealed word of God. The gospel we stand for because it has the words of Jesus Christ himself. It's the life, the doings, and the sayings of God incarnate. This is why in a high Mass we incense the book. Not only does everybody stand for it, but we have servers holding candles by it to show our respect, our reverence, our love for the gospel. And it's incensed. That's the good news. But as we reflected upon a couple of weeks ago, we have this thing called free will. The gospel can be rejected. The good news can be disregarded. The eternal plan can be, have people can turn their backs on it. That's the scary thing about having a free will. God will not force the gospel. He told the apostles and the evangelists and the disciples, go forth and teach. Bring the gospel. You know, how far were they supposed to go? Well, what did our Lord say before he ascended into heaven? Go and teach all nations. So he was telling his church, till the end of time, to go into every nook and cranny of the world, the most far-flung places, and bring the good news that God became one of us, that he loves us that much, he loves us infinitely, he died for us, and he gave us a plan to follow. This is what Mission Sunday is about, to realize there are many places that do not have the gospel, the teachings of the Catholic Church. They're one and the same. You know, it used to be that the focus was on, you know, places like China, the Far East, Africa, the heart of Africa. But as we look around, we see that the whole world is a mission field. And we are asked to be inspired with that mission of the church to bring the gospel to everybody. Yes, priests and religious give their whole lives for the spreading of the gospel, but even you as laity are called to bear witness to Christ. There are people that you will reach that I can't reach. People in your workplace, people that you interact with, places where you shop or do business. I don't know them. Most likely I will never meet them otherwise. But because you are a member of Christ's church, you have to, by your example, by your good deeds, by your prayers, by your sacrifices. Yes, our Lord said, some devils are cast out only by prayer and fasting. The devil of error, the devil of heresy, he's cast out by prayer and fasting. So the question is to ask ourselves, what can I do for in my role? If I'm called to the lay state, either as married or single, what can I do to bring the gospel to people? And if you are called to become a priest or a religious, how privileged you are, because you get to do what the apostles did. You get to spend your whole life, your whole focus, giving your whole life to God and working for the salvation of souls exclusively. What a privilege. What an honor. What an amazing calling. There can be no greater calling than to win souls for Christ. So as I said, it's not just Africa and China and the Far East, our own country. The whole world has lost faith. It's in St. Luke's Gospel, I think it's chapter 16 or 18, where our Lord says, think you when the Son of Man, will he find faith on the earth? So our Lord was forecasting a time when most people would lose the faith. And yes, the modern church of Vatican II is absolutely watering down and changing doctrine. It's cringing to see what's going on in this so-called Synod of the Family in Rome right now, where the heretical cardinals and bishops are openly espousing sin and saying, giving approval to sin and trying to somehow justify that. Why do they need 3 weeks to discuss whether they're going to follow the gospel or not? You see, there's the problem. The gospel has some hard teachings in it. And the great danger is not so much the person that says, I'm going to turn my back on God and Jesus Christ and everything he taught. That's pretty blatant. And there are those that do that in an increasingly secular society. But the real danger is the watering down to the point where you have changed doctrine, but it's been subtle and deceiving in that way. And I see that happening just everywhere, the watering down. I've given you the statistics that show how far the numbers go, how far the membership in the new church of Vatican II is espousing sin, approving of sin. It's been watered down to that point where they're okay with abortion, they're okay with divorce and remarriage, they want a married clergy, they want women to be ordained, and worst of all, unnatural marriage. The majority is in favor. That is a blatant rejection. Maybe not at first, but by watering things down enough, it ends up becoming a rejection of Christ and the gospel. Yes, the gospel has some hard teachings, but Jesus knows what we need. He didn't come and, you know, to give us, Jesus is not a politician to tell us what we want to hear. He has the words of eternal life. Remember what he said a year before his passion and death, I am the living bread who came down from heaven. My body, my flesh is your food to eat. And all the people that had followed up to that point, the vast majority said, oh, this is too hard. We don't want to eat your flesh and drink your blood. You see, they weren't willing to make that act of faith that Jesus was going to put it under the appearance of bread and wine. And the most of them turned away. And then Jesus turns to the apostles and he says, will you leave me also? You see, our Lord didn't say, I'm sorry, come back. Let me change that for you. I can see you don't like it. Jesus tells us that we have to keep the Ten Commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. He tells us that there's no such thing as divorcing and remarrying. You know, where you can go on from one marriage to another. Our Lord says to even look with lust is to commit a sin of adultery in the heart. These are the hard teachings of our Lord. There are many easier teachings, of course, but there's also these hard teachings. Our Lord also says if we have to ever choose between him and a fellow human creature, we have to choose him. No wonder Chesterton said, Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found hard and not tried. But my dear brethren, the difficult teachings, they save us. Our Lord said in St. John's Gospel, the truth will set you free. And with God's grace, we can live the gospel, not just the easier teachings, but those that are hard, those that are a challenge to us. God's grace is sufficient. Didn't our Lord say that? My grace is sufficient. He said, come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. And to make it even more doable for us, our Lord went and walked the hardest road of all. He walked the path of a life of suffering and pain and rejection to help you and me to do what we need to do. So let's not water down the gospel. Let's be aware of that danger. It must never be where the church follows the world, follows what the world is doing. No, it should be always the other way around. When it comes to morals, the church, the true church, will always set the pace, so to speak, and say, this is the truth. Let's follow it. And the truth will set us free. The truth will save us. We should preach the gospel with love. St. Paul says, I believe in his letter to the Colossians, he speaks about St. Luke and he calls him the beloved physician. Now, did he water down the truth? Did St. Luke, when he was preaching, did he say, okay, what do you want to hear today? Let me tell you what you want to hear. No, he preached the truth in love. And he was beloved, as was St. Paul. Now, those that rejected Christ and rejected his teachings, of course, they hated Paul. He was in fear of his life at times, and he was put to death as a martyr. But for those that were open, they loved him. They loved the apostles because the the apostles were giving them the good news, the unchanging truths of the Catholic faith, the words of Jesus Christ. And the apostles, the disciples, and countless saints and missionaries through history have lived for people to help them, inspire them. They chose the harder way for the love of souls. And in some cases, they died for the people they came to bring the gospel to. So we preach the truth in love, always. If, you know, we should be so humble. Today is not a day or any day of our lives to sit back on our laurels and say, I'm a traditional Catholic. We should be so humble that we sinners have been allowed those graces so that we can see the truth. We should be conscious of that. I am a sinner. I have brought God's wrath upon myself. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and I will humbly and with love preach the truth and show them how much I care. You know, there's that saying, people don't care about what you say unless they know that you care. We have to show that love as we preach the gospel, as we preach the truths of our faith, so that they can be part of the church and receive those graces, those blessings, the sacraments that will help us get to heaven. One last thought, and that's St. Luke is the Marian evangelist more than the others. And we know about things like the Annunciation, the Visitation, the details, certain details about the Nativity. Why? Because Mary told St. Luke what to write. She experienced those things. So it's just wonderful that in the month of the Holy Rosary, we read about the Marian evangelist, St. Luke, and what he tells us in his gospel. So definitely one of the, well, they were all beloved by Our Lady, but, you know, certainly there had to be a special connection that Our Lady had with St. Luke the evangelist, with those details that he alone tells us. So anyway, let's keep praying our rosaries. Let's keep being that shining light. Let's set that good example. Let us offer up our prayers and sacrifices for the conversion of sinners. And let's share our faith in truth and in courage and in holy charity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.